Well, good morning. This morning, we're continuing our series called Ecclesia, Defining the Church. And we're doing this to reinforce our vision for home groups, as the elders have been seeking the Lord and praying about a compelling vision for our church, not just one that we created, but one that comes from Scripture. Over the last couple months, we've been more and more convinced of the need to pursue biblical community through home groups. And so that's the reason why we're doing this three-week series. And you'll notice in your bulletin, there's a card that says, I'm in. We're running a Labor Day sale, so you get 20% off if you put this in the baskets outside. No, I'm just kidding. But this is a way you can see outside there are baskets that have the various groups. They have the nights of the week, the time, the leader, all those kinds of things. And I'll be up front with you. My goal this morning is to convince you, if you're not already convinced, from the Word of God, of the importance of participating in a home group. So we'll see how successful I am this morning. Hopefully, God, through His Word and the Holy Spirit, is even more successful than I am. So last week, Nathaniel taught us on the mission of the church, what's often called the Great Commission out of Matthew 28. He taught us that our mission is to make maturing disciples of Jesus, that our mission is based on Jesus' own authority conferred to Him by the Father, that our mission is drenched in humility, and that our mission is fulfilled through biblical community. You'll notice I saved that one for last as a jumping off point. And before we jump into what we're talking about this morning, I do want to mention I have the privilege of leading global outreach. So when we talk about the Great Commission and the gospel going to the ends of the earth, that's kind of the world that I live in here at Temecula Hills, play a big part in that. And sometimes in my experience, as you talk to people about these ideas, the importance of the gospel going to the ends of the earth, people may be very convinced about that, like, yes, that's important. I have no idea how to start or how to be involved in that. And so I just want to mention to you, it's a little bit of a tangent, but as we get started this morning, I would love to connect with you. If the Lord is working in your heart in that area, if you have questions, if you're curious about things, if you want to know how you would actually even start doing that, I'd love to make myself available to you to talk through that. I promise that I won't show up with a plane ticket to Africa for you. That'll be like the second or third meeting. No, I'm just kidding. But also with that, if you are a parent of a student, perhaps, and the Lord is working in your student, your child's life towards that end, and maybe you feel a little bit apprehensive or unsure. There's a lot of things that you feel like are kind of unclear for you around that. I would also love to get together with you and talk about that, because I realize those things are important in the context of a family. So just wanted to put that out there as we get started. Depending on who you are, where you're sitting this morning, you may or may not have kind of heard enough about home groups already. We've been talking about it a lot the last couple of weeks. We've been doing promotions. We've been sending emails and all of that. You may be hearing about it for kind of the first time this morning, or maybe you've already heard about it and you're on board. But my hope is that it's catching on. We're going to keep talking about it more this morning. This morning, we're taking a very big idea, and my goal is to try and bring that idea down a little bit and show us how it applies specifically to this idea of biblical community, and even specifically through home groups here. So as we start, let me ask you a question. Are you ready? Why are you here? You don't have to answer out loud. Just answer in your head. Now, there's probably a lot of different ways that you could answer that question in your head. Could be a statement of purpose, could be a sequencing of events. If you've been in church for a while, you know the right answer is probably Jesus. Now, hold that answer in your mind for a moment. And specific to that answer, your own individual answer, let me ask you another question. Why? Now, some of you have children or grandchildren, and just so you feel okay, I'm not going to keep asking why, because you've probably been asked why enough. Yeah, some people are nodding more than others right now. But if you take the answer to that question and you continue that cycle of answering the why to your answer, you will eventually arrive, I believe, at some kind of statement about the nature of the church. And I'm not talking about our church, about Temecula Hills. I'm talking about the church as in all the people in all time who are in Christ, what some people refer to as the big C church, the church universal in that sense. I'm guessing since you're sitting here this morning that you're already at least somewhat convinced of the significance of the church. The question is, your answer, the things that you're convinced about the church, it's a question not just for all of you, but also for me. Does it align with what God's word says about the church? And so today we're going to spend some time looking at that. We'll be in a few different passages today, and we'll kind of be taking them in larger chunks. We're not going to be working through in extreme detail through any of them. But this morning we're going to be talking about the cosmic significance of the church. Some of you are excited because you think I'm going to talk about an Avengers movie, but that's not it. It's a big word, right? We talk about cosmic significance. What do we mean by that? Well, one definition of cosmic is concerned with spiritual or metaphysical ideas, ideas that are bigger than just the things that we can touch. Another way you might see it, a more practical way, might be the bigness, the hugeness, not size, but importance. We're talking about significance. And so that's our theme today. And we're going to see three things about the cosmic significance of the church. The first thing we're going to see on your outline there is that the church transcends time. Hopefully your Bible is open to Ephesians 3. I'm going to read again for you verses 4 through 11. This is what Paul says. When you read this, you can perceive my insight into the mystery of Christ, which was not made known to the sons of men in other generations, as it has now been revealed to his holy apostles and prophets by the Spirit. This mystery is that the Gentiles are fellow heirs, members of the same body, and partakers of the promise in Christ Jesus through the gospel. Of this gospel, I was made a minister according to the gift of God's grace, which was given to me by the working of his power. To me, though I am the very least of all the saints, this grace was given to preach to the Gentiles the unsearchable riches of Christ, and to bring to light for everyone what is the plan of the mystery hidden for ages in God who created all things, so that through the church the manifold wisdom of God might now be made known to the rulers and authorities in the heavenly places. This was according to the eternal purpose that he has realized in Christ Jesus our Lord. So the church transcends time. What do we mean when we say transcend? Well, we're not talking about weird jazz music or other kinds of strange forms of art. When we say transcend, a definition of something that transcends something else is that it goes beyond the limits of it. It breaks out of the box, out of that other thing. Paul is telling us here in Ephesians, by the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, that he has unique insight into the plan of God throughout history. This was revealed to him and given to him as a minister of it. And this thing that he has unique insight to was a mystery. It was not made known to the sons of men in other generations. In other words, though it was something that God had in mind, we'll see, it was not revealed to them in other generations as it has now been revealed. What is the mystery? The mystery is very clear. This mystery is that the Gentiles are fellow heirs, members of the same body, and partakers of the promise in Christ Jesus through the gospel. What is the gospel? Well, if you haven't heard, or by way of review, the gospel is the good news that although we as people have committed crimes against our Creator, against God Himself, not just mistakes, not just messing up, but we have launched an assault on the character of God, the one who alone is holy and pure. So we have a problem. But this same God, being holy, is also merciful. And so this God became a man, the man Christ Jesus, and gave his life in place of us to forgive our sins, to forgive our debt, to pardon us from our crimes against him. And he has made a way for us to be reconciled to him, not by committing to doing good things, not by living a good life, but by simply believing and receiving this forgiveness. There's other things that we could extend the gospel to. Perhaps some of the more beautiful things include the fact that God doesn't just tolerate us now that we are forgiven, but we actually enjoy a place of favor with him because of what Jesus did on the cross. This gospel is a distinctive of Christianity, of what God's word teaches, and even among other religions. There's no other religion that will tell you that if you believe the message, the truth, behaving doesn't come before belonging. This is distinct to Christianity. You believe the gospel, and that means that you belong to God. He has given you a place and intends for the things that you do to flow out of that, not the other way around. Every other religion will tell you, you have to believe these things, you have to behave right. If you behave right enough, then you can belong. Thankfully, God doesn't say that. So this is the revelation of the gospel. We say the church transcends time. The church is built on the gospel. The people that are in Christ by believing the gospel are the church, this big idea of the church. I've noticed in the last handful of years, it's a sign I'm getting a little bit older, there's been something that we have, as a culture, become increasingly fascinated by, and that is reveals. You guys notice that? So there's a couple ways that this expresses itself, but as a culture, we're very fascinated by people building up anticipation to reveal something. If you follow people on Instagram that maybe have a business or make some form of art, it's common that they'll start posting and they'll see 30 days from now, you know, check in and you'll find out what I'm announcing. It's like a pre-announcement announcement. Or another example of this might be, you know, Netflix or other, you know, media producers are putting out these teasers. What's going to happen in the next season? You know, tune in and it will be revealed. These things have always kind of existed, but I think in the last handful of years they've become increasingly, people have been working harder and harder at it, maybe because of the pace of our culture, the pace of information. Then we have gender reveals. In fact, when my wife was pregnant, we were having our first child, our son, I think the way that we did a gender reveal was, I think we just called people and told them that we were having a boy. Now, in all fairness, not everybody does gender reveals, and it's not bad if you do one. They're really fun. You know, you have people like hitting golf balls that explode into blue or pink dust. You have other people shooting things that explode. If you're using fire or firearms, just be safe. You know, it's cool. But this is what Paul is saying. I don't mean to make light of it, but to put it in context, imagine the anticipation you feel, the buildup to one of those reveals. It's like you already know the results to the Super Bowl or something like that. Paul is saying, it was given to me to reveal God's plan that has not been made known to any generation, that is now being made known. In fact, this news was so big, 1 Peter tells us that these are things into which angels long to look. Can you imagine that? If you are in Christ, you are a part of something that in the past, before it was revealed, angels wanted to understand what was going on and did not, because it is in this time that God has revealed this thing. Incredible stuff. So although the concept of the church, the gospel, was revealed at a point in time, it was something that had been in God's mind for a long time. This was according to the eternal purpose that he has realized in Christ Jesus our Lord. So God had this purpose long ago. In fact, even Hebrews chapter 12 in the beginning tells us, after recounting stories of people who were faithful to God, the writer of Hebrews encourages us, or God encourages us, to say, since we're surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses, let's run this race. So the church transcends time. We are connected in Christ to people that have gone before us who are also in Christ. Notice I didn't say were, they are now, even still, currently. In fact, one of the songs we sang this morning has been, it's a confession that has been said for hundreds, thousands of years, almost, of people who believe the gospel and are in Christ. So the church transcends time. Well, what does this have to do with home groups? It's a pretty big idea, right? Home groups are, by their nature, kind of small. Fair enough. But I think the point is this. Home groups are an expression of the church, of our local church. They're a place for biblical community. And the significance of what God is doing in the church is not related to how many people are there, but the fact that it is an expression of the church. And so our home groups are environments where we are joining with other believers as an expression of God's manifold wisdom, as a show of God's glory, even to the angels, because of what he has done in Christ. Again, the significance of what we do and how we gather is not determined by how many people are there. It's determined by the fact that we are in Christ. We are a part of something that transcends time. So hopefully that will convince you to sign up. It's bigger than just a get-together. It's not just a time when we're answering questions related to the sermon. Home groups, as an expression of the church, have cosmic significance. So the church transcends time. And the next point is that the church transcends culture. To see this, we're going to go back just a little bit to Ephesians chapter 2. And let's read together verses 11 through 22. Now, this is Paul speaking to a specific group, the Gentiles at Ephesus, the church there. He says, "Therefore, remember that at one time you Gentiles in the flesh, called the uncircumcision, by what is called the circumcision, which is made in the flesh by hands, remember that you were at that time separated from Christ, alienated from the commonwealth of Israel and strangers to the covenants of promise, having no hope and without God in the world. But now, in Christ Jesus, you who were once far off have been brought near by the blood of Christ. For he himself is our peace, who has made us both one and has broken down in his flesh the dividing wall of hostility by abolishing the law of commandments expressed in ordinances, that he might create in himself one new man in place of the two, so making peace, and might reconcile us both to God in one body through the cross, thereby killing the hostility. And he came and preached peace to you who were far off and peace to you who were near. For through him, we both have access in one spirit to the Father. So then you are no longer strangers and aliens, but you are fellow citizens with the saints and members of the household of God, built on the foundation of the apostles and prophets, Christ Jesus himself being the cornerstone, in whom the whole structure, being joined together, grows into a holy temple in the Lord. In him, you are also being built together into a dwelling place for God by the Spirit. So the church transcends culture. There are lots of ways that we could talk about culture. What is culture? People say it a lot. A good definition, perhaps, of what culture is simply a shared set of values and practices. There are probably other shades of culture. But in this passage, Paul is talking specifically to Gentiles who have no religious history. You see, even at the time of Christ and before that, consider the people of Israel, what God did with them. He made a covenant with them. He called them out, and he made them into a nation. In his sovereignty, he gave them a specific history, these shared experiences together. He also gave them he gave them the law, which is a set of not only principles, but specifics to govern their public and their private life, even down to the very kinds of fabric that they should use for their clothes. How families and marriages should be structured, the kinds of things to do when there's a business transaction that went wrong, details like that. So God gave the nation of Israel a cultural identity. This was intentional. And now you have these Gentiles in the gospel that don't have any of that cultural identity. They have a cultural identity, but it's very different, obvious, scattered all over the place. And so this was a big issue, especially you see in the early church, trying to grasp this and understand God's intent for it. In fact, you even see some, I wouldn't say necessarily arguments, but some discussions around some specific things in the book of Acts. Things like circumcision, which was God's sign for the males, the men, out of the nation of Israel. If you don't know what circumcision is, ask your dad afterwards. Maybe Jeff, you could be on call to teach him that's worse. Just kidding. So they're trying to figure this out. What do we do? We have these people, this shared identity, and now we have these Gentiles. They were not part of our nation. Well, it's so fascinating how Paul talks about that God has solved this, what God's intent is. And that is that the church, this one new man that Paul talks about, transcends culture. This is very important for us. In our American culture right now, it's a big discussion, and especially depending on what kind of environment you work in or if you go to school, things like that. Multiculturalism and things like diversity and intersectionality, all of these concepts are a huge deal. We're talking about it as a society more than ever. We are trying, as a society, to find the right mix, the right integration of cultures, of backgrounds, of things like that. We're trying to find that recipe where we can all sort of live with it, right? But the problem is, even some of those groups that we're trying to mix together have categories that are different than other groups. And some of those groups say, well, you might have this category, but that's a bad category. You can't have that category. So we have this problem of all these cultures that are just not compatible. There's no adapter you can make for everyone to completely come together in diversity. The diversity of national ethnic cultures and expressions, that's not a problem. That expresses, in fact, the image of God. But trying to integrate these groups into one is a problem. And that's because, as a society, as a culture, we don't have something transcendent that we can integrate them into. And the beauty of God's wisdom is that's what he's done in the church. He says, your ethnic background is a Jew, your ethnic background is a Gentile. Rather than trying to figure out how to make you meet in the middle, I'm going to give you something that transcends all cultures, that you can now both enter into. And in fact, I'm getting goosebumps talking about it. This is beautiful, even as we talk about the gospel, the Great Commission, the gospel going to the ends of the earth. Because when we bring that gospel to people, we don't have to say, okay, do you have your folding chairs? Do you have your microphones? Okay, now you can be the people of God in the jungle. We give people something that transcends culture, that they can enter into as the people of God. And listen, you and I come from different backgrounds. We may come from a different ethnic background. Maybe our personal history, maybe our experiences in the past, maybe how long we've been walking with Christ. We have a variety of people together that have a variety of physical and even cognitive abilities, and that is a good thing for us to come together as the church, because the gospel transcends culture. I want to give you a specific application to home groups. And I realize that I may be walking into a bit of a minefield here, but here goes. Let's talk about generational culture. So I'm at a phase in my life right now where I'm kind of not really young-ish, but I'm not necessarily old-ish either. I find myself when I'm talking, I was talking to some people last night, and they're like, how old are you? You know, they say, oh, wow, you're 8 years older than me. I didn't realize you were that old. And I'm kind of 50-50 on whether that's a compliment or I should be offended by that. And then I talk to other folks, and they say, how old are you? And I tell them, and they say, I'm not going to tell you, by the way. I'm going to do my reveal later. Just kidding. And then I talk to older folks, and they say, what, you're only that old? Because I got married pretty young. I had kids pretty young. They're like, oh, you got plenty of time ahead of you. Well, I want to encourage us as the church, as this local church, and especially through our home groups, for those of us who are, those of you, I am in the middle, so I can say this, those of you who are younger, and those of you who are older, those of you who are older, to act according to the biblical pattern for younger people and older people. Younger people, you are called by God to set an example for all of us as believers in the purity of your lives. That's a biblical thing. But you don't need to feel like you have to do that on your own. And our culture presents unique challenges to you. And you can tell the older people that I said this, because I'm older than you, and I could say it. Our culture presents unique challenges to you about how to shape your identity, how to understand yourself, how to go about living the life that God would have you live in our culture. And so don't be afraid or nervous to reach out to people who are older and wiser in your home group and in our church body. Be persistent. Ask them. Share with them the things that you're struggling with. Ask them, can you give me wisdom for this area? This thing happened at work that I'm struggling through. Can you give me some insight into how I can work through this well? Tell me from what God has done in your life. How do I navigate this well? So young people, don't be afraid to reach out to older people. You should be doing that. The Bible encourages us to get wisdom. We can get wisdom from God's word, but we can also get wisdom from those who are older than us, who have gone before us. And to you who are older, if you would allow me to exhort you in this way, there are many young people in our church that need your wisdom, that need you not only to wait for them to approach you, but they need you to get into their lives. Be a little forceful about it. That's fine. I think they will appreciate it. Especially if you have been in the Lord for some time, God has given you unique wisdom to share with those who are younger. And it is the biblical pattern for those who are older to teach those who are younger. You look at the concepts in Titus 2. And it seems to me that the biblical pattern is that those who are older and more mature are often the pursuers of those who are younger for this teaching. So if you would allow me to put that before you respectfully. And with that, be encouraged that if you're older and maybe you feel like you're not as mature in the Lord as you would like to be, or there's some lost time that you regret, God can give you wisdom from his word. And that's what our younger folks need. And it's okay if you don't follow 78 people on Instagram or have a favorite YouTuber or even know what Twitch is. That's not what younger people need. We need wisdom from the Word of God. And that's the kind of dynamic that we're praying we would see in these home groups. I can say from my personal experience, from my life, that there have been times that people who are older have actively held on to me, and God has used that not only to encourage me in my faith, but I believe in many ways to even sustain me. I know it's God himself that sustains me, but older people in my life have been an incredible instrument used by God to overcome doubt in my life, to overcome fears and anxiety in my life because of them sharing with me what he's done in their lives. So the church transcends time. The church also transcends culture. God's plan for the church is to integrate all of us into something bigger, not just build an adapter for our various cultures. And lastly, the church transcends location. This point will be a little bit shorter, but by way of review, I want to read Matthew 28, 18 through 20. It says, "And Jesus came and said to them, 'All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Go, therefore, and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I have commanded you. And behold, I am with you always to the end of the age.'" And then we look at Acts 1:8, reinforces this idea. It's expressed again. Jesus says, "But you will receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth." Consider this. Another distinct thing about the church, it transcends location. When God raised up the nation of Israel, there was a mandate to be a light to the nations. However, where God located the nation of Israel was very specific. His presence dwelt in the tabernacle, in the temple, all of these things. There was a place. Some writers say this was a centripetal kind of witness. And that is something being pulled into the center. A couple people that are into physics are like, yeah, I see what you did there. Centripetal, something being pulled into the center. Israel was intended to be a light for the nations. And there were means by which Gentiles could come in to the favor of God through the nation. But when Christ gave the mandate to the church, it's actually the opposite. There's a shift from the witness being centripetal, a drawing in, to a centrifugal, like that, a going out, away from the center, outward. And this is the Great Commission, the gospel to the ends of the earth. "You will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and Judea and Samaria," that is city, then region, "and to the end of the earth," geographically. So I think this is important that we recognize that the church transcends location. God's plan for the church is for it to continue to go forward to new regions and new places. We have to keep this as part of the character of our local church to be faithful to what God's plan is for the church as all of us who are being in Christ. And I realize this looks different, right? I probably won't have like 75% of people want to meet with me and bring the plane ticket to Africa. But even in our city, even in your neighborhood, even in your job, God intends for the church to continue going out in this way. If I could say it this way, it's good to invite people to come here on Sunday mornings and hear the word of God, those that may not know the gospel, that may not know God. But that is not enough to be faithful in what God has called us to do. And also sending people to those places that are towards the end of the earth, that is also not enough. As part of the church transcends location, and so we should always be thinking about how God wants us to be a centrifugal force going outward to other people, to other places, to other opportunities. So what does this have to do with home groups? Well, I think even in our home groups, we can encourage people to do this, to be going out. How is God working through you in your job and the opportunities you have with other people you come in contact with? But the irony of it is that sometimes going out actually does look like drawing in. So I want to encourage you as your home groups are forming. I know that we enjoy biblical community and being together as the people of God. But have you considered that there may be people that don't know Jesus that could see what Christ is like by spending some time with your home group? And that may not necessarily be the entire time that you spend together. But you could do something like, if your home group shares a meal together, you could invite your neighbors. And you could say, hey, we got a group of people that get together. We eat together. We do a Bible study after. If you don't want to stay for the Bible study, that's fine. But we'd love for you just to come and be with us for a while and eat together. This practice of hospitality, especially in our home groups, is incredibly powerful. And hospitality towards those that don't know the Lord, because it gives them glimpses of the Spirit of God working in our lives. To see that God, through His Spirit, is building us into something that transcends culture, right? People that are younger, people that are older, people from a variety of backgrounds, people that have a variety of jobs and vocations. For them to see that is a testimony to the power of God and what God does. So the church is cosmically significant. It transcends time, it transcends culture, and it even transcends location. We can be confident that our home group gatherings are cosmically significant because God, in His wisdom, having put us into Christ, means that we're connected to believers that have gone before us, and even, in an interesting way, Lord willing, those who will come after us long after we're gone. Our home groups are an expression of that cosmic significance. And as we have opportunities to come together with those that are different than us, and we're being built into this one new man, we express that the church transcends culture. All of our differences, the biggest thing we have in common is that we are in Christ. And that's bigger than any other minor difference that we might see on the surface, or even our preferences. And lastly, we can recognize that our mission is centrifugal. We need to be going out in all areas of life. And sometimes going out does look like drawing in, inviting people to spend time with us as a community. As we close, I want to do something just slightly different. These are big ideas, and as I studied this and just reflected on what God would have for our church, I kind of really didn't know what totally to pray for. So rather than sort of offering a kind of one-off prayer to God, I think what I'd like to do is pray through Ephesians 3, 14 through 19, and then us together to pray through the last two verses of that passage. Does that make sense? So in a moment, I'm going to pray through a handful of verses, and then I'll invite you to open your eyes. You can do that. The words will be on the screen, and we'll pray through those things together. Sound good? Let me pray. Father, we bow before You, from whom every family in heaven and on earth is named, that according to the riches of Your glory, You may grant us to be strengthened with power through Your Spirit in our inner being, so that Christ may dwell in our hearts through faith, and that we, being rooted and grounded in love, may have strength to comprehend with all the saints what is the breadth and length and height and depth, and to know the love of Christ that surpasses knowledge, that we may be filled with all the fullness of God. Will you go ahead and look up at the screen and let's pray these two verses together. Are you ready? Now to Him who is able to do far more abundantly than all that we ask or think, according to the power at work within us, to Him be the glory in the church and in Christ Jesus throughout all generations, forever and ever. Amen.